Holy heck! All you listeners, welcome back to Geniuses, Poets and Artists. I am Kim, and today I have with me Hamza Kaiser. And we talk about all kinds of fun stuff, improv of course, as well as his wonderful new team, Strangers in Sync. Join us and come along for the ride!
Alright listeners, welcome back to Geniuses, Poets and Artists. And today I have the honor of having Hamza Kaiser. Kaiser. I have mispronounced that.
Almost
again.
There. Yeah, that's fine.
Hamza Kaiser here with me today. This is my second go at the podcast with Hamza because I have too much gear and I'm not familiar enough with it. As you might find out, I have some new toys, including this.
Wow, yes!
So that's going to happen a lot today.
I'm going to give you a lot of opportunities to use that.
Excellent. So let's try that again. Hamza, who are you?
Well, my full name is Hamza Kaiser, like you said. Professionally, I'm a corporate communications professional and I work in the telecom industry. But that's daytime. Oh. In the nighttime, I'm an improviser, obviously. And I think we just discussed this. I'd like to think of myself as a storyteller. So, I think that's a better part of my identity. Yeah.
Okay. What are your favorite kinds of stories to tell?
All kinds, basically, but mostly human interest, because I think that's always a unique story there. Mm-hmm. It's probably very similar emotions and similar anecdotes, but at a very different combination. So that's always unique.
Okay. And improv is perfect for that.
Yeah, right?
Mix and match, just constantly remixing all these different things that you've got.
Yeah.
And just throwing into the mix and seeing, hey, where is this going to go?
Absolutely.
Okay. So other than cop comms, what else do you do with your time aside from improv? So I think you mentioned you're a storyteller and artist. Is there any other kind of art that you do?
Well, I'm a work in progress artist, don't have the skill level, but I do like to identify as that. What else do I do? Since this is a podcast and people can't see it, I should tell you that I'm an underwear model. So, like, you know, I get paid for showing these.
For real?
No, of course not. Uh-huh. Yeah, no. What else do I do? I really like doing things around nature. So cycling, hiking, just taking a walk in the woods, because I'm from Islamabad and everyone does that there. So yeah, it's a valley.
Is it hot there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. It is quite hot. But it's the last city in Pakistan where it doesn't snow. You drive one more hour up north and it snows like 7 feet.
So it's both hot and it almost snows.
Very extreme. Yeah. It has like 5 seasons, so
You know, just growing up, that was the one thing I hated about Singapore. I mean, I hate a bunch of things. I love a bunch of things. You know how it is. But the weather was pretty boring. It was always hot, it was wet, or it's hot, and it's dry. Yeah. And then it's hot and wet again.
Yeah. You're like, okay. Humid sometimes. I haven't gotten to the point where I start hating that yet.
Okay.
Yeah. And also, I really don't like winter, so I just go back home for 2 weeks, and that's enough. And then I come back.
Okay.
Yeah. I enjoy it for the 2 weeks, and then...
Wonderful. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So tell me, Hamza, how did you get into improv?
Oh, that's going to be a slightly longer story if you have time.
I have the time.
So if you just roll back a little bit, just so you know, I'm really interested. I've always been interested in performing arts, even as a kid. But I never really sort of pursued that full-time or part-time. I did some gigs. I took some workshops, but that was pretty much it until I moved to Singapore, and then I properly got trained on acting. I took some acting classes at the American Acting Center. And after that finished, I was doing some really random stuff, like an ad or a corporate video or stuff like that. And then I was, I auditioned for a play, which was happening early 2020. Like, we started early 2020. Yeah, you know where this is going, exactly. So I auditioned, I got the job, we were doing table reads, and bam, pandam. I think you should do that now.
Yes.
Woo!
Nice.
So we were doing table reads when this happened, and then this was one of our, those goodbye meetings. They were like, oh, we'll see what happens, we don't know. And luckily, Annie was part of that troupe as well.
Ah.
Well, not part of that troupe, but that team who was going to do that. She was doing a character, I was doing a character. And one of those meetings, I remember, she was leaving and she said, I have to go early. And I was like, why are you going early? And she said, oh, I have to do improv. And I was like, ooh, because I was looking to do something like that. And if I were a cockroach, my tentacles would have been like, and then like, what? Tell me more about that. Then she told me about the improv company, mm-hmm. and then she left, and then I stalked you guys. But then it was.
If you are listening and you haven't stalked us yet, please do. We are a company, not an actual person, as much as the Accra will have you believe. So you know, please stalk us.
Yeah, go ahead. So I looked you guys up, but obviously nothing was happening at the time. I did a Zoom theater, so to speak, in that time.
We all tried, I think.
We all tried. It wasn't the best thing, no. But it was fun to do, and there was a nice people. But then once that finished, I was traveling back home, then came back, and I saw that you guys were doing the classes. Actually, no. Kept that out, because I didn't go back home until I've already done 201. Because when you opened, I saw your classes were on after the summer. And then
around June, July.
Yeah, exactly. So that was the time when I joined. I did 101. I didn't even do the tester sessions. I just came. Because I think it's a very interesting relationship with acting and improv together. Because when I was doing my acting classes, they were it was a 3-hour class, and the first hour would all be improv games. They wouldn't teach us the technique of improv, but they would just ask us to do things like questions only and, you know, those kind of exercises. So it was kind of, I would say, a warm-up, but not a warm-up physically, but also physically, but mostly just practicing getting out of your head and being present in that moment. And I don't think you can do that any other way without doing improv. So yeah, that is something I struggle with in a bit, and I thought I should do more improv before I can do anything else.
Okay.
So that's how I got in.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's all right. That wasn't that long.
Yeah. Okay.
That's
fine. You have any to blame though.
Really straightforward. Yeah. Oh, she's a great evangelist. I mean, all our coaches
absolutely.
Are,
yeah.
Because
yeah.
by the time they get around to coaching, they've already been they've drunk the proverbial Kool-Aid.
Yeah. But I didn't know she was such a big deal in the improv community until then.
Yes, so by the time they come around to coaching, they've already been here a while, they've been doing improv, and they are normally doing it because they're trying to find a way to either spread the love or to learn a little bit more about teaching. Because
absolutely.
Once you start teaching someone, you kind of have to know what you're doing. You can go in like with this, ooh, I have no idea what I'm doing, but here it is, which is how I kind of started, because I didn't really have a choice. But
oh, now you know.
Now I have some.
Oh yeah,
I have memories.
Don't be humble.
But at this point, it's been a while, so I know what I'm doing when I try to guide people along that path, rather than trying to fumble in the dark and figure, am I doing this? Am I doing this? But yeah, teaching is really by any one of our coaches, and she's been really well. One of our first students, actually, she did our first showcase way back in the day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Take
in a
me
cafe
back there.
That no longer exists. A lot of things no longer exist. That's how long we've been around.
Nice.
Yeah. But yes, your journey sounds great. Like acting, we don't get a huge amount of actors coming through our doors. I think it can be a little intimidating compared to what the rest of the techniques are like. So how has improv helped you as an actor?
Well, to be honest, ever since I started improv, I haven't done acting. There's not much gigs anyway.
So what I'm hearing is that improv has not helped you as an actor.
That's one way to look at it. No.
Taken you away from the acting.
You could also say that I'm so indulgent in it that I didn't have time or the energy to do anything else, which is true, actually. Now that I've said it, I realize that's true. I'm consuming a lot of my life on improv. Because there's jams, and there's John's jams, and then there's classes, and then we have a team. So I'm loving this, yeah.
Okay.
I don't feel like I need to fill any more gaps.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's, I've never talked to people who've found that they've had to cut back on improv in a very deliberate fashion because they've let it take over so much of their lives that they suddenly realize that it's not even their second place anymore. It's
really?
Their first place. Okay. Am I getting that wrong? Yes, I'm getting that wrong. They definitely do spend more time at home. But then if they're not working, then they're here, which is, to me, amazing. That's why I set up the place. But at the same time, maybe you want a bit of that balance. Go see your families. Go, you know, have friends that
depends
are not
on
improvisers.
The
I'll be honest, I don't have a lot of friends who aren't improvisers anymore.
Okay.
It's not that non-improvisers are terrible people. It's just that it can be quite consuming.
Your words, not mine. But what's wrong with that? Let it consume you while you feel good. Like, just follow your heart, right? That's what I'm doing.
Yes. Of course, I don't want people to get burnt out. And suddenly, it's a bit like a snake eating his own tail. If all you do is improv, and then after a while, it gets a bit meta. Like, the improv feeds the improv, feeding the improv. And then you're like, I am basically an improv vortex. And then you need something else to fuel the energy. consume other art, you know, talk to people, engage in life outside of the improv rehearsal.
For sure. Yeah. I have heard this line before, and I think it's very effective as well.
Yes, because, I mean, at the end of the day, I suppose maybe I haven't really gotten out of that vortex, because when I do that other stuff, it's also to feed the improv. And to really, like, this is life. Even when I'm engaging in life, I'm looking at life and going, this is for material, for my stage. And then it feeds into that.
That's actually very cool, because I think even if you don't do that consciously, everything you're doing in life somehow feeds into your improv personality. Yeah,
because the thing about it being an improviser is that you're not just an actor. You're also a writer, you're directing.
Absolutely. Yeah,
so all of you're making the things that you're putting on stage come from you and your partner, and it's that mixture, that special admixture that you can't do alone, but so much of yourself is out there.
Yeah.
And without something else to feed that, it becomes this Ouroboros.
Exactly. Like, if you spend all your life inside a theater, what are you going to talk about the theater? And then
We've definitely seen art like that. So, you know, go out there. There's so much life, right?
Hollywood's obsession with itself, yes. Too many movies about actors.
Yeah,
but no, sure. you're absolutely right. I think, life feeds into it.
Okay,
for sure.
So now that you're in that stage where you've got a lot of improv stuff going on, what is your favorite improv thing?
My favorite improv thing is the people. Yeah, they're my kind of people. I get them.
Okay.
I love spending time with my team, Strangers in Sync. I think, don't want to sound like a wanker, but we've actually become friends. And we spend a lot of time together, and I really like how everyone's so easygoing, and everybody can take criticism, and we agree, disagree on things, and you know, everybody has their own strength that they bring in. So I think that's something anybody would like to have with their friends. And I think my favorite part definitely is the people, the whole community. I mean, kudos to you, the way you've built it. It's really nice. You get a lot of validation, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's great. That's great. So Strangers in Sync is currently your only team?
Yes.
Okay.
Like I said, I don't know if anybody else wants me, but I don't think there's any more time to do anything else.
Okay.
Yeah.
In the scene here, people do often part of multiple teams.
Yeah.
And they find validation in different ways from that. Whether it's like a kind of show that they're doing, or the kind of style of improv, or whatnot, or different people even. Because different mixtures of people will have different chemistry. It can happen, but you know, if you find that your team now is great, you know, there's no obligation to go and find another team. It's not that kind of community.
I mean, I'm definitely open to the idea. I definitely want to try long form and other kind of forms and other kinds of theatres.
Ah, okay.
But for now, I think I'm very satisfied.
Great.
Yeah, I'm very happy to be with this team. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we definitely want the community here to be open to that, open to
Absolutely.
Talking to people, seeing each other's shows. You know, having these experiences with different people and talking to them. We don't want there to be this siloedness of teams just doing their own thing and not talking to anyone else. I think most of the improv teams in Singapore are part of that. Yeah, we rarely see... I'm still quite surprised when I find that there's a team that's not part of that, and we do want to talk to them and say, hey, come and talk to us as well. You know, let's do stuff. We are doing the same art. We are not competition. Our competition really is everything else that demands people's time and energy and say
that is so true.
But let's create art together. Let's make great stuff together.
And I think if you support each other that way, this is going to be a lecture. Yeah, just support each other. Full stop. No, but just to build on your point, actually, our team has members that are part of other teams as well. And I think art or any kind of creative thing grows better when you have that kind of exposure. Like, I did swing dancing for a little bit, and no, don't even try. But they don't let you dance with the same partner for the whole night. You have to swap partners every 10 minutes or so, because the more different kind of partners you have, the better you get at your own skill.
Yes, I agree. I agree completely. The more I play with different people, I've done this for about 10 years, right? So I've played with all kinds of different people.
Yikes.
It's been a while. I've been younger.
Nice. Are you having like a decade anniversary party or something?
It's probably passed, actually. I think it probably passed during the pandemic.
Never let to party.
Well, you know, the improv company will be 8 years old this year, probably.
Cool.
It might be 7. Apparently, I've lost count. So I should go check. I think it's 8 years in October. So we'll be trying to do something.
We need a party, man. We need a party.
We normally do. And last year, we were like, man, this is a pandemic.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Well, that was a different kind of party.
I had a different point. Oh, right. Yes, so playing with different people has taught me many different things. Whether it's like, just different, when you come from different styles completely and I never played with that, it's such a mind-blowing. Like, oh, you can do this. You can play in this way. You can open up the stage in that way. And then I try to learn from as many different coaches as possible. Because if I just learn from one coach, then what I am is imbibing their style. But if I learn from different coaches, as a coach myself, I'm seeing how they teach, how they reach their students, but I'm also seeing how are they getting to that holy grail, right? Because at the end of the day, we're improvising, we're trying to create something from nothing. And seeing how other people approach that problem is so fascinating. And then I take the best of that, and some of it won't work for me. And that's okay, because I take whatever works for me and I try and add it to my toolbox, and suddenly I have something else. My art is constantly evolving, my practice is always growing, because it's just the nature of being human. You are not perfect. And so we try constantly to strive towards that perfection. We'll never reach it, but we can try.
Perfection's boring. Journey's the problem.
I think that's part of the appeal of improv, right? You know it's not going to be perfect. It's going to be flawed. People are desperately... They're basically struggling with this spinning machine, and they're like, how is this going to explode? Yeah. And you're like, it's going to explode, all right. And everyone just in the room is like, explosions. And then when they manage to tame the beast, then they're like, yes, you tamed it. Do it again.
Yeah. And there's always a next stage to that. So it's never anything.
Yeah. Sometimes that's you meet a beast that you can't tame. Like for me, it's musical improv. Never going to touch that again. But I tried.
What have I missed, Kim?
Nothing.
Is there evidence of that?
Not going to happen, no.
Okay, I'm going to ask Miguel.
Oh, my God.
No, but I'm so glad you said that, because this is kind of the approach that we took in Strangers in Sync as well, because we all knew, and we weren't really sure if that's the right approach, but we decided not to have one coach, but have multiple coaches come and coach us before we did our first show. And you're going to be one of them, actually.
I am. I'm going to come and see you guys on Tuesday.
Yeah, so...
Wednesday. I'm great at dates, it turns out.
I can tell. The problem is I'm equally bad. So I think this has helped us, because this gives us a very different perspective. And I think at some point we will need to stick with one person. But for now, I think it's very valuable for us to see like different points of view when we're rehearsing.
We'd love to hear what you guys are thinking about all the different people you're meeting.
Ooh, okay, sure.
Maybe not in a public forum like this.
No. I'll send a letter handwritten through a pigeon.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, but also it's partly because for me, because I run a company here, and I'm always constantly thinking about my coaches, because we do have a syllabus. It's just that every coach teaches it a little bit differently, and I'm always like, how are they doing it? Are they learning? Are people getting what they can from it? You know, and sometimes we get feedback from students like, the learning curve is a bit steep, and we're like, Yeah, we've heard that. And then we try to adjust, and we will try and learn from that. So understanding how the coaches are doing is always going to be helpful for us.
Yeah, I think that's... Maybe there can be a feedback forum from all the new and old people together.
Yeah, that actually would be great. I think there have been so many new people that just learning like what you guys are saying and thinking is super helpful. Because I guess at some point, you know, you do it long enough, you kind of lose sight a bit of that.
Yeah.
At that early stage of whatnot. You're just so used to things being a certain
Absolutely.
Way.
I think I'd recommend all the new people who are coming in to kind of find out if they do 101, find out who's doing 201 and try to find a different coach. Because that's what I did and it was perfect.
Oh,
I started with Hazel and then it was John. And they both have their own strengths.
Oh, they're very different people.
Yeah. And I'm so glad I did that. It's so much fun. And then 301 is Hazel again. But
We actually try to do that as a bit of active policy here. Hmm. Occasionally we get a classic because, we love this coach so much.
Yeah.
And then we will try to dissuade them and say, hey, learn from other people, because that's where you get exposure to different people and their different styles. And that's how you grow. But you know, sometimes people are like, we definitely love them a lot. And we're like, they're there.
Okay, yeah. I mean, like I said before, like, following your heart, as long as it's working for you, do it. And then if it's, you feel like you have a plateau, just shake things up.
Okay. Have you tried musical improv yet?
No. I love musical theater, but I can't sing. I'm tone deaf.
Oh, yeah, we just got banned from singing.
Yeah.
Because the COVID situation just got worse. So, you know,
it's kind of like the pinnacle for me. Like, if I'm ever able to do that, I would be, like, proud of myself for once.
Yes, it is quite hard.
Yeah.
Although I will say that one of the shows that I've ever given a standing ovation to, which is quite few, was a one-woman musical by Jill Bernard. She's from Minneapolis. She runs huge theatre there. And she does a one-woman musical. She used to have this drum machine where she would do her own tracks and everything.
Oh, right,
And she would just rhyme with that. And, fuck, I can't do that. But I can enjoy it.
But she does that improv?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Improvised.
I'm already impressed. I've never seen her.
She did that because she could then travel. She could take you to different festivals. All she needs is a drum machine. These days, I think she tries to find a local musician to accompany her. And if you were listening all the way to this point, listeners, that's our neighbor from downstairs, our tattoo parlor. And they are good, I assume. They've been here a very long time, so I assume they're doing well. Back to our regular schedule programming.
Yes,
So Kaiser, what else, aside from improv, are you the most interested in? I think you mentioned storytelling. Is it that? Is that, would that be your answer, or is there something else as well?
I think people can't see us right now, so I would like to mention that I'm an underwear model. So
oh, yes, yes, the underwear model part, yes.
Right, you know, like, you don't get this for it. No. Woo! Okay, thank you. What do I do besides improv? I'm a huge movie buff.
Okay.
Or Netflix / like, visual media buff. Mm-hmm. So I watch a lot of that. I do like reading books, but lately, I felt like every time I read a thriller novel, I end up liking the movie more, which is like an unpopular opinion to say, but I kind of enjoy them more.
Okay.
So, yeah. Again, back to storytelling, right? So, I need a story. I think I'm addicted to watching at least something before I go to bed. It's the same thing as, you know, hearing a story from your grandma before you go to bed.
What did you watch last night?
I'm watching a show called Mindhunter, which is something that I caught up on very late. I know everybody has seen it, but I love it. I like these kind of shows that are like dark crime, murder, mystery. Mystery gets my juices going. Like, I love a good mystery.
Okay.
And I've seen so much that I tend to guess a lot of things. So if you still try to surprise me, you have done the job.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Great. All right.
Yeah.
So far, so good. Learning quite a bit about you. Awesome, which is kind of the point of this.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Is this about me? No.
100%. Yeah. Strangers in Sync, that's a very new group.
Yeah.
You've not done your first show yet.
No, it's coming up.
When is that?
14th.
14th?
So we kind of got a little scared. I don't know when this episode will be paid.
This Sunday.
This Sunday, then everybody knows that we just had a shock.
A little bit, yes.
A little bit. Yesterday we were rehearsing and it all just died down. We were like, what is going to happen? And we're six people, if they allow five people on stage. People were so, like I said, like, this is why I love this group. People were just volunteering, I can drop out, it's fine. And then I was the one saying, nobody's dropping out, we'll find a way, we'll just do something. And luckily, we have... hope.
We do have hope. I guess as of the podcast recording time, we don't know if we can do the show. But there is hope. As in, so the NAC has to approve it.
Yeah.
Hopefully they do.
Hopefully they'll
I think their main concern seems to be that, you know, safety management is in place.
Yeah.
And of course, we will do that. When is the show scheduled to happen?
So it's 14th of May, Friday.
You're
please
sold out,
come.
Aren't you?
We have two tickets remaining as of now. So yeah, hurry up, go buy tickets. Yeah.
Okay, awesome. I'm looking forward to that.
I just want to take this opportunity to thank everyone who's coming. Like, this is very encouraging to see. I did not think there's so many nuts.
Oh, your marketing has been apparently very effective.
We didn't really market much.
That's not what... BX said, but okay.
well, BX had a different story. Like, she put it on her Instagram, on personal Instagram, and then, like, a lot of people bought it. So, thanks. Big thanks to everyone there.
Okay.
Yeah, that was very encouraging.
Is she, like, an influencer?
Well, not just on social media. She's kind of like our leader. Like, thank God for her. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, it's really happy to have that.
Yeah,
like
she's
that.
The glue for Stranger Things.
I think in the last episode, she mentioned that she likes organizing, which honestly is a rare thing for improvisers. Most improvisers like improvising, it turns out.
No, I think she has multiple talents, but really, I can understand why she said that.
Okay.
Because every time we just talking about, let's just get that person on board, and she's already like sent the message. I would procrastinate like 10 days before I do something.
I get that.
Like
that. That's me.
And she gets stuff done, so that's very impressive.
Okay. So, Hamza, time to toot your own horn a little bit. What do you bring to the group?
I've been tooting my horn a lot, actually. This is so unlike me. Because I'm so humble.
Where's my button? Where's my button?
Check! What do I bring? I think...
Nice.
That should have been after now.
True. I'm still getting hang of these buttons.
Okay, no, I'm very tempted to press those buttons, by the way. Oh!
Yeah, you have to hold that one.
All right. Very cool. Thank you. That's what I don't know, man. Just ask the group. I think I bring me. I think everyone's unique in the group. I can just go around and talk about everyone there now. But I'm me. I'm exceptionally ordinary, as they say.
Lies, number one. I mean, an underwear model right here. And number two, I think that's the thing about improv. When you're starting out, everything's quite new and you're like, oh, this is great. It's been about 6 months or so. Actually, almost a year now.
Almost a year, yes.
And I think part of it is like trying to find your own voice and figure out, oh, what do you like? So is Strangers in Sync going to do like a short form thing or is it a...
So our first show is short form.
Okay.
And we definitely have ambitions for long form.
Okay.
Later on. Mm-hmm. But a lot of us are still in 301. So we want to do it right rather than do it, you know, just for the sake of it. So get our skills up there and then we definitely going to do it.
Okay. Excited to see that.
And I think you mentioned before, I forget, I think that's a very good point that you said that we all are very excited in the initial phase. And I think I've heard Miguel use the word the honeymoon phase, which is so true. But I think we're all very, especially in Strangers, I think we are very aware of that fact that this is not going to be how it's going to be like forever. I hope it is, but it's not going to be like that. We already have a member, Sam, who will be leaving in June, which makes me terribly sad. But the thing is, we're aware of the fact that things will change, but while we're enjoying it and we're doing it the way, you know, it's coming along.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That might be the healthiest attitude I've heard described.
No, oh, thank
something
you.
Like this. So yeah.
Nothing stays forever. No. And there's okay. So because I come from Pakistan, we take pride in our poetry, the Urdu poetry, and there's a beautiful poem which I'm going to butcher in translation. But it says something like something that is beautiful and something that is delicate comes with this catch that it's immortal. So anything beautiful is not forever. Debatable thought. But yeah, and then it goes all about flowers and stuff like that. So that's corny. I'm already corny enough. Yeah.
Ah, that's great. That's great. That is beautiful. That's beautiful. I think I would say like just thinking back to my history, I've left so many groups. So many groups have disintegrated. But you know, while it was happening, it's great. And I'm excited to see what will happen with you guys next.
Yeah.
Once the show is done, you know, and you figure out, oh, what are we gonna do next, and then that journey is gonna be great.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay.
It's all part of it.
All right. So, tell me, Hamza, at this point, where are you headed next?
You mean improvise or generally?
Let's start with improv first and then we can go into the general.
Well, we're really looking forward to our first show and then we already have plans for the next one, but until it is solidified, I'm not supposed to talk about it.
Oh, okay.
But I'm very excited about it. I think, personally, I would really like to do duets.
Like a duo?
Like a duo.
Okay.
Like an improv duo. Because I feel like, not my comfort zone, but I think I'm my best when I'm doing a show with one person. When it's more than one person, I kind of struggle with... Not struggle, but I feel like there's... I feel very responsible. So it's a bit... That pressure is something that I'm still getting used to. So not to say that I want to stay in the comfort zone, because I'm still terrified when I'm on stage. But I think duo is something that I would really like to try out and see how that turns out.
Yeah. Oh man. Okay. Well, there was a show that was supposed to happen end of the month called Two to Tango, run by, I think, Jovi and Jess. Have you met them?
I mean, I know Jovi.
Oh yeah.
I haven't met Jess.
Okay. And she's great. It was called Two to Tango. It was going to be three duos, I think.
Okay.
But it's been cancelled because of COVID. I'm sure it'll come back at some point.
And, yeah.
Looking forward to that. The thing about a duo is that it's easier to logistically do, which is helpful. But the other part, yeah, you're on all the time, right? There's no other experience quite like that because when you have a team of four or six, there are moments that you can breathe and just like, okay, what's happening? And then you get back in the fray. But when you're duos, it's that... It's weird, like, you know, the flow state that you get into when there's a duo and you're really in tune with your partner is unmatchable.
Yeah, you can't really drop the energy ball.
Have you seen some duos yet? Have you seen Tick Tick Toe Type, by the way?
I hate to admit it, but I have not. But I've seen Ashwin and Annie play separate things. I haven't seen Thick Solid.
That's okay. Most people haven't because they don't do a lot of shows.
Yeah.
They are.
Is that still on though?
Yes, that should.
Okay.
Fingers crossed. Okay. That should still be on.
All right. Great.
So I think there might be one ticket left. Maybe go check it out.
Oh shit! Okay.
They're popular.
Yeah. Very popular. I think they're both so charming. I would love to perform with them at any point. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, tell them. There's a. I think they're doing a set called The New Mutants. Where they.
Yeah. I applied. Didn't get a call back. So.
Oh, it's okay.
Never mind. Another time. Yeah. But I think they're both really, really great.
Okay.
Yeah.
It might be because you already have a group and they're trying to
for sure help. Yeah. Let's go with that story.
Spread out the
otherwise you really like me.
Oh, hi Miguel. So Miguel is just looking at us. I mean, I realize this is a podcast. I still do this on Zoom where I point at things and I'm like, everyone look at that. And everyone's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, let's not forget, it's just audio.
Yeah, it's audio. So he just took a photo. Like, I guess we'll put this on our Instagram at some point.
Okay.
Otherwise, yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
So duos, that's going to be great.
I don't know. Like this is like an ambition. I don't know if I'll be able to do it or if I find the right partner.
Nothing going to stop you, right?
Yeah, maybe
the improv police come in and be like, "Aha, yeah. You didn't get your improv duo license." Oh, no,
Have you heard of self-doubt?
What? Me? Self-doubt? Self-doubt is my middle name. Kim Self-Doubt.
So yeah, that's the police. There you go.
Okay, give it a go. It'd be great. Sometimes it's just, I've tried more duos than I've actually done.
Okay.
And some of them didn't work out, which is fine. Because in our one session later, we're like, well, this is terrible. Bye. You're still friends, right?
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Okay.
And sometimes.
It's like a one night stand.
Yeah. And I tried one once. My worst ever show was a duo. So I have that to go with.
Okay.
Yeah, which you're not gonna hear anything else about because I'm gonna go talk about it. Yeah. Yeah, but
I'm staying quiet just to let you talk about it a little bit more.
You're very naughty. Okay, but thank you so much, Hamza. This has been a very, very fun conversation. I am looking forward to having you back on stage in on stage.
Back
soon,
on stage.
In the next week or so?
I've done a showcase.
You have done a showcase.
And back I've done a show with you, Kim. What the fudge?
That's true.
Am I that forgettable? It wasn't yours or mine finest work. Let's just put it that way. Given the follow-up conversation.
Did I repress this? I don't remember there being a bad show.
Yeah, we probably shouldn't say that. Yeah, no. It was a great show, guys. Yeah, but we all have ups and downs.
I liked it, I think.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So it was just notes to improve.
Okay.
Yeah. This is going to be confusing.
Okay, let's finish up that specific conversation after this. I seriously don't remember. Otherwise, thank you very much, Hamza. And once again, if anyone has been listening to this point, thank you. Our competition is running again. The last winner of our last competition was Zhi Ming, who was correct. He emailed us in and he's going to get a free pin. If you'd like a free pin, one of those rubber chicken pins as well, would please tell me how do you pronounce Hamza's surname correctly?
Wow. Can I get a pin?
No.
For being a guest? Come on.
Oh, for being a guest. Yeah, sure. By
okay,
means.
Great.
Yeah, but not for answering the question because you should know. All right. This has been Genius Sports and Artists. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Catch you again next week. Hi there, listeners, and you have come to the end of this episode of Geniuses, Poets and Artists. Thank you so much, Hamza. You've been a wonderful guest. I never imagined we'd come this far, and we've actually stuck it for a pretty long time. Really proud of ourselves here at the Improv Company. I'm not just talking about a podcast as well. I'm talking about all of the improv. So, improv is still happening, COVID notwithstanding. So, come along and join us as we do more shows and more podcasts. Thank you so much. Oh yeah, speak truth to power.